Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and I want to basically remind you, because I got to make a better effort in doing this, but Red Pill Expo is coming up on July 9th and 10th, and it's going to be in Indianapolis. So those of you who are in driving distance, and as a matter of fact, I read a really, really good post on social media regarding the situation that's going on, because I'm not sure if everybody understands what's happening with the airlines industry. Now, I have a few friends that are pilots and have been in the airline industry for a long time. And that's because they were prior military. Well, so the baby boomers that went into and created what we'll call this great airline industry, they're at the point where they're seeing their benefits and everything else getting hacked and being, you know, being attacked. And let's be clear here. The profit model for the airline industry has really been well overstated, because there was just if you look, they're constantly being bailed out. And if you look at the salaries and if you look at how much money goes into the airline industry, well, and the problem, folks, really has more to do with the fact that they're publicly traded. In other words, people buy into them and invest in the companies and so forth for the point of getting money back. If these were private industries and they actually managed their, you know, their affairs solidly, instead of trying to create perceptions of profit, because you have to understand that when companies go public, then they have to care more about their profit line than they can about what their, you know, what's best for their business. And there's a really, really good video out there regarding SaaS software and how SaaS software was able to build itself into the premier company that anybody and everybody that was in software wanted to work for. And so we have to start looking at what causes all of these different problems. And we'll actually get into that today. But my point is that regarding the airline industry, it is advised by pilots and other people, because flights are being canceled on a regular basis. If you need to travel somewhere and you can drive that distance in a day, 7 hours, 8 hours, a good day, maybe a 10-hour day. If you're capable of doing the drive in a day, do it. Because they're basically telling you that if you need to be somewhere, you need to plan on traveling the day before. In other words, if you have to be somewhere for a wedding, you have to be somewhere for a funeral, you have to be somewhere for an obligation, business, or what have you, you need to start traveling in advance. And they're basically posting, you need to be on the first flight out for the day, because if that flight gets canceled, and there's less likelihood that it will, if that flight does get canceled, then at least you have a better shot of being rescheduled or rebooked on a subsequent flight than you do coming in at the end of the day, because there's maybe only one more flight, and then you'll have to come back the next day. And so, and those flights are already booked as well. So you really, really, really need to start playing this game of guarding and actually looking at getting there in advance so that you... And, you know, companies can't afford to do this and sending people on labor and just having them sit in a hotel on business, paying labor, is what I was trying to say, for a day or two while they're just because they needed to be somewhere for a meeting or to conduct some kind of business. So the point is that if you're going to Red Pill Expo and it's in driving distance, make sure you drive. Don't bank on flying, because they are canceling thousands of flights a day. And when I mean a day, worldwide, there are flights that are getting postponed and canceled. And so, and I don't know, because I think there's so many other things that are, you know, contributing to all of the noise in your life. If you're going to go to Red Pill Expo, try to drive. That way, you know, you'll get there on time and you'll know you'll, you know, actually be able to be there and be a part of what you want to be instead of dealing with the frustration and being so upset and looking at this as a lost summer. anyway, with that, we've got Feedback Friday tomorrow. We should be wrapping up the, the constitutional positions that we need to start campaigning on. We should be getting that done today. If not, we'll finish it up tomorrow. The show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. If you haven't ordered your subscription, if you haven't gotten your paper yet, you should. And you know what? It's not a huge, you know, periodical. It's not like the, you know, Wall Street Journal or anything like that. It is a, you know, a small startup paper, but what they are doing is they're trying to create a focus and a center on one balanced journalism, and actually not something that becomes a part of the progressive rag where you're reading the same. I mean, you know, when you read the Times and you read the Post and what have you, it's almost like you're reading the same article. We need to actually start looking at our press and what our press really is and what it should be. And actually, in this whole process, that's why we covered this, why we covered the medium, why we covered the platform, that the platform itself needs to be scrutinized, because if they're doing that, if they're grinding agendas, we need to shut them down. But anyway, we also highly recommend if you're a part of an institution, an organization that has meetings and so forth, you need to start including, even at work, we really need to start including constitutional education. And what better source to go to? Well, there's all sorts of great sources, but Keith Broders will actually provide you with, and he does a lot of hard work, and he understands the Constitution. I agree. It, you know, 9 times out of 10, there's very few things I ever find. And as a matter of fact, we do agree in the fundamentals regarding the Constitution, and we agree on Republic Review. We agree on so much. I don't agree with the way Hillsdale, with the way a lot of these, what you would call conservative constitutional training and education, because they don't teach you about common law. They don't teach you about challenging all of these unconstitutional things. They even embrace much of the unconstitutional paradigms. This is a very dangerous thing when we actually cling to, and people point you to these sources that are embracing these unconstitutional paradigms. So why would we want to? There's great articles that come out of Hillsdale, the Imprimis and so forth, but they still lack a good constitutional view. And that's just because we're so constitutionally illiterate. There's way too many people that look at the Bill of Rights as the center of the Constitution when it's not. These are just further restrictions that the federal government can't even go there. And so we've completely lost sight of the concept of an enumerated Constitution and focused on what is actually enumerated within it. Anyway, so Keith Broders will provide you. So if you need very specific type of training that you want to basically start offering your institution, your organization, reach out to Keith Borders, and he will help you in creating some training for you. And in addition, we want to point you to Stan Kluett with RadioDustCovers.com if you need to protect any of your electronics and so forth. These are very affordable covers, and they're very well made. Check them out, RadioDustCovers.com. We also have AdLocal and their campaign. So I finally posted that up. I want to plug it again. go to Ad Local, or actually go to Reclaiming the Republic and go to the other links page, and you will find Ad Local's link to their campaign page. So you can actually kind of look at what they will offer you in a $2,500 startup. And actually, you know, they're happy to provide you with other pricing and so forth. But if you need a campaign page and you need it done quickly, they've already got one done, so you don't have to go and sit down and spend your time telling people what you want. This is a one-stop turnkey, there you go, $2,500, you're done. I've seen all sorts of people looking at spending $12,000 in California, $12,000. I've seen other people being cited $6,000 and up. Folks, we've tried to make it simple, and I'm surprised that it costs this much, but I have to admit, inflation is killing us in every way because everything is going up. Here's the question. If all of a sudden the cost of everything goes down, but the cost of labor doesn't go down, then we are pushing ourselves towards a labor crisis. I hope you understand what I just said. Because if you start looking at in the world where labor crises have occurred, it's not good. Look at Spain, look at Italy, look at throughout Europe where labor crises have occurred. And so it's nice to be able to get increases, you know, that will actually, you know, come in line with inflation. But the problem is that when inflation, when we can actually get and suppress the cost of things back down, labor and housing and some certain things never go down. And that becomes problematic because they create bubbles and they create big problems. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's kind of get ready to go into where we left off. And actually, we didn't cover the petition that that was dealing with, let me see here. Got to get over to it. Forgive me. We've got a lot of things going on. We're getting ready to hit you with the ratification debates. So you're going to, and when we start this off, I just want to make sure you understand, we're kind of going to lay the groundwork for enlightenment and kind of what's set the stage for the ratification debates. So Anyway, the petition that we need to actually start pushing, and this technically needs more detail, but bottom line, in going through the 11th Amendment, what we did yesterday, in going through the 11th Amendment, we clearly can see that the federal government and the federal court system is pulling in a lot of trials, and there's lots of appeals that are on. It's like this revolving door that feeds from one court to the other. It's like there are no parameters for moving things that they have no jurisdiction to see. What's killing me, folks, is that the Supreme Court and the federal court system is actually turning its back on very specific things that fall underneath the Constitution, such as this lawsuit against Congress, how they accepted it. They actually served Congress with summons, and then they turned around and said, you know what, we don't think you have a case here with us yet. You haven't proven standing, and so we don't think we have jurisdiction over this. What? Folks, we are being played by our court system. So the petition, in probably the rawest and the most succinct and simplistic way, the states must enforce the 11th Amendment. They must take a stand in ensuring that these cases between suits of other people from other states, non-residents of the state suing your state, and or foreign entities suing your state, those things don't get pulled into the federal court unless they are actually within the jurisdiction of the Constitution. I mean, these lawsuits that are claimed to be, you know, violations of Bill of Rights and so forth, there's no need for these things to be sent to and or being brought into the appeals of the federal court. Because bottom line, they have no jurisdiction over these things either. The only thing is, the question is, did the states pass a law? Are the states doing something that is violating that? That's a different story. But 9 times out of 10, most of these cases are in law and equity, and the federal government does not have law and equity over all things. We have perverted the pool, and this has made a big money, and we'll get into this in just a few minutes. But the petition basically is just that. We need to stop this revolving door and stop allowing the federal courts to fish into the state courts in overreaching their jurisdictions, because they're just looking to make money. They've got to be able to pay for these edifices and all these people running around with black robes and lawyers and clerks. And folks, it's about time we start actually laying off a lot of lawyers and judges. We have way too many. And we need. And if we actually understand what it means to invoke common law, then we'll understand why and how our court system has gotten way out of hand. But anyway, let's now cover the original 13th Amendment. And this is what the original 13th Amendment read or stated. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present, pension, office of emolument of any kind whatever, from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. Now, when we start looking at people getting jobs, because what's an emolument? An emolument is receiving pay and benefits, right? So when a congressperson retires, they still receive an emolument. And my point is that when we start looking at how this plays out of any kind, when a person without the consent of Congress, so let's start it all over. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, so any citizen, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present, pension, office or emolument of any kind, whatever, from any king, emperor, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States. Doesn't that include international corporations? Wow. In other words, international corporations can't come here and start employing people, because then you can't be a citizen of the United States. In other words, I want you to understand the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment has a far greater reach in protecting our sovereignty than anybody can realize. When you hear me tell you that the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction to allow any foreign nation to buy an American resource, asset, company, land within states, or what have you, they can only dispose of those properties, the territories and properties that they possess constitutionally, but they can't give it to a foreign entity to basically undermine and, or I will just say, support an enemy in favor of, you know, their strategic interest and against ours. In other words, when we see our president actually giving favors and allowing and supporting Russia with their pipeline or anything like that, and actually harming us, we actually can see treason being committed. Biden has actually crossed the line, folks, in so many different ways. And the 13th Amendment really lays this out. And there's lots of people that really need to, you know, step back and go, wow, you know, based on this 13th Amendment that we haven't been following, there are lots of, I actually worked for a foreign nation, not knowing that this was the law, because they unconstitutionally scrubbed this from the law of the land. Now, we have, you know, we've gone down this path, but what we need to do is we need to basically put shots across the bow and say, any foreign company that is operating, they have to sell off their resources. Anything that they're operating within the United States, they can no longer own and operate. Smithville Farms, any of the agriculture, any of these things that these China, the Chinese Communist Party, because of the 13th Amendment, no foreign power can operate and employ people in paying them any type of emoluments unless Congress basically provides consent for the citizen, not for the corporations. In other words, it's one thing if you leave America to go work for or get employed and operate, but it's another thing for them to own resources and assets in the United States. And so when we really start peeling this particular onion, this right here will have really far-reaching effects on, you know, what has been perverting and undermining America. Because this one constitutional amendment that was ratified, they claim it was proposed in 1812 or 1810. I believe what I have read is it was ratified in 1812. Some people say it was questionably ratified in 1819, and I don't think that's the case. I do not think that's the case. You got to understand that they looked at foreign entities as the problem when they framed this Constitution, and they created the barriers to make sure that the federal government and states couldn't undermine each other. That's why states couldn't actually create treaties, states couldn't, you know, create compacts with any foreign entity. They couldn't join a confederacy. They were tied and kept into this, I'll just say, this secure envelope, this secure bubble, that they all things had to stay within the Union. Now, as we go through this, one of the things we want you to understand is that a book, actually it's called The Compiled Laws of Wyoming. It was written by Mr. Livingston. He's the one that actually put this in 1860. 78, 79. I forget. I could actually pull it up, but I don't want to take the time to do that. The fact is that Mr. Livingston incorporated this in a book he was commissioned by the territorial government of Wyoming to compile all of the laws of the land. And so in so doing, he actually included the 13th Amendment. This isn't something that GR is just saying, you know, hey, there was this amendment that, you know, we want to convince you that it was ratified. No, we don't have to convince you. We can prove to you it was ratified because it was the law of the land in the 1870s and 80s. This was when the federal government actually started eradicating, going down this process of basically making it, in the Italian sense, go away. They were killing it. And they were scrubbing it from the books. But what they didn't do is they didn't go around and say, you need to strike this out, because that would have tipped everybody off. It's just like burning books. When all of a sudden, you know, the government says, you got to burn these books, it tips you off to say, hey, what's in those books? We better read that before we burn these. What they did was very underhanded, and it was very successful. We'll be right back.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So what I'm basically saying is the success of the federal government in manipulating and getting an outcome that they were seeking so that they could open up cracks in our defenses, cracks in our security, cracks in our system, so that America could be undermined by all sorts of, and we'll just say it, foreign powers and foreign interests, corporations, and so forth. So bottom line, the petition is very simple, and there needs to be more detail to this because this is a really short liner. The 13th Amendment needs to be reinstated as it was unconstitutionally removed. And so this is why when you hear me say that, you know, we've got these 28 amendments, and people go, well, actually, there's only 27. What's he saying? I'm including the 13th Amendment that was ratified that they have, you know, very nefariously removed from our books. So just to be clear, they've been ignoring it. They mean to ignore it, and they did even more than just ignore it. They wanted to hide this because, folks, who do we owe all this debt to? We owe debt to foreign powers and entities that there's no way the Constitution would have even allowed this. When you understand these paradigms that I'm telling you, there's just no way that we would have been going down, especially with nations that had, that were designed. In other words, the interest and the strategic design of foreign nations that are actually trying to wipe us out, our enemies, being able to hold our debt. I mean, come on. That was just completely unconscionable. I mean, the framers couldn't even imagine people that would be that pernicious. There we go. The good old pernicious people, right? Anyway, Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. This goes hand in hand with this whole paradigm of keeping and making sure that America does not start assuming debt. And so one of the things that they did was they made sure that whatever debt came along from the Civil War of the Southern states, that the Southern states needed to actually, you know, well, this was really more of a blow towards any kind of nation that wanted and thought that they could meddle in American affairs by actually going and investing in, you know, a subversive or insurrective act. So let's just read what it says. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payments of pension and bounties for service in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. In other words, the debt of the Union that is paying out. Now, we're not talking about foreign debt. We're just talking about the debt that the Union has in paying those who fought in the Civil War for the Union. That cannot be questioned. But neither the United States, now get this, but neither the United States or any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim or the loss of, or emancipation of any slave, but all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. Now, I already told you that the concept of reparations is unconstitutional, because if the government, or for you to come along and say, hey, this wasn't against the law, but we considered it reprehensible, and now that we've, you know, changed the law, we want you to pay for damages, you know, like war crimes or what have you, because it was legal back then. Well, that's kind of like an ex post facto law. It's kind of like a bill of attainder that you come along and change something and then say, okay, this is no longer legal, and then come back and say reparations. Reparations are not allowed. Now, correcting the wrongs, redressing the wrongs, and fixing them is what's required. And as long as we're doing that, that's what's important. But for people to try to get rich, for people to try to grease their skids, or, you know, make it a personal benefit, a personal endeavor to benefit themselves, then that is not acceptable. Now, this is why, you know, when we read what we just read out of the 13th Amendment, this actually supports that, and it actually proves that these obligations and, you know, these perceptions that this was wrong and that there has to be a financial, no, there had to be a legal correction to get the law right. Once the law has been righted, then the law needs to be enforced by this new standard, this new paradigm. But there are there's no allowances whatsoever for the payment of reparations or payments because, you know, the government allowed this. This almost basically goes down this path of, because, you know, as we improve our life, we can't be paying for the sins of the past. If we started doing that, then where do we start? Do we go all the way back to Egypt and say, Egypt, you have to pay the world for enslaving everybody? because you did for 3,500 years, and you held us back for 3,500 years, right? Is that right? No. What? And as a matter of fact, as Frederick Douglass basically stated, he says, free them and let them go. Because bottom line, let's just get things right. Let's make things right so that we can all move forward. The problem was that there were lots of people that, you know, wanted to play these games. There's people that wanted to become divisive. Now, I have said this before, and I'll try to always remember to say this, that when we look at sources of, you know, why something happens, why did this, you know, occur or what have you, when we look at division, the source of division is evil. In other words, harmony, forgiveness, moving forward, and healing with love. That's a very Christ-like nature, Christ-like behavior. When we start looking at division and basically dividing ourselves and actually contention and saying, you owe me, and those types of things, that is not what I would say is Christ-like. That is basically being driven by the dark one, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to put this, however you want to put this into a box. Bottom line, we have to start recognizing that these types of emotions, these types of actions, reactions, are not good in our society. They don't build us, and they're not helping us become a more enlightened society. They help debase us. They help divide us further and further and so further. Our republic, our government, and our constitutions are perpetual, and we must look at the past 150 years since the Civil War as a new rebellion / insurrection. And what I'm saying by that is what we're seeing today is an actually new insurrection, and it is being waged against us and against our Constitution and against our republic. And it is being orchestrated by our public servants in office today who are actually violating their oaths of office. Most of our government's apparatus is based on fraud, and all of our debt is fraudulent. All of it, because it's being spent, because if you look at the overlays that would actually pay for the constitutional stuff, they're making more than enough money. They're spending money on things that they have no authority to spend on, whether that be the concocting and making of COVID vaccinations, all of this crap. I mean, the trillions of dollars Biden has been spending, all of that is designed to financially break America, and it's on things that they have no constitutional authority to spend. It's fraud, period. I can't make it any clearer. So the petition in dealing with Section 4, a challenge must be made to prove that all of the roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties, as well as the debt, is and must be constitutionally based upon the definitized Constitution. So in other words, this builds on this concept that we have to have a definitized Constitution, and that we have to ensure that any type of debt, any type of payment, is only being made on those things that are within the enumerated powers. Nothing else. We need to stop paying the servicing of the debt. We need to shut down the Fed. I don't buy on the Pauls, the Rand and Ron, when they tell us that we need to audit the Fed. You're only legitimizing the Fed. They are illegitimate. There's no authority for the federal government to create this private entity to run our banking system. To even have a banking system is illegitimate. Now, the federal government has the ability to actually create debt, but there's nowhere in the Constitution, just because the Assumption Act was basically, you know, allowed to happen, doesn't mean that the bank and that debt, because what happened was the bank was created as a part of the Assumption Act. But there was no power that was granted to the federal government to do that. It was unconstitutional. And the states need to draw these lines. And they actually need to go through all of this to going all the way back to the Assumption Act to state this. We'll be right back after these two promos.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's just kind of put this one to bed, because bottom line, we need to start getting back, and we need to start helping everybody understand, you know, how far this house of cards has gone, how much of what the federal government is doing has really exceeded, you know, both our budgets and our abilities. Now, there are a lot of other little topics that we're going to be kind of covering, but we're just going to gloss over the rest of these, because most of these really need to be worked out in definitizing the Constitution, not necessarily by the definitizing process. Now, again, what we're going to do and what we need to do for the states is to actually give them the academic definitized Constitution just to help them. And so this is why we're working with the Constitution Association. We hope to be working. I've asked the Constitution Party. I've asked the Independent American Party. I've asked the Institute on the Constitution. I've asked a lot of different organizations if they would actually step in and be a part of definitizing the Constitution. Now, I haven't asked the John Birch Society, and actually, because I have to tell you, and actually this is Feedback Friday, because this is more feedback. So I'll put the John Birch stuff off to the side. As a matter of fact, I will make sure that I actually make this note, because I do want to bring it up, because I do get this feedback. And so here you go. You hear me doing this because I want to make sure I cover this, because I do get feedback all the time. And a lot of time I just can't get to all of it. And I want to do better in kind of going over these things. The problem is that if I go through them at a really high level, and I don't feel like I'm doing you the service, the person that actually deserves the feedback, or two, I already get feedback that, you know, I go over stuff too quickly. And so there's some things that are just hard for people to understand, and I apologize. So, and it doesn't help when I have, you know, medication that is and making me think a lot faster than my mouth can actually drive get there, operate. There you go, operate, not drive. Anyway, so the next topic that is, I think, something that absolutely has to be dealt with is government corporations. Now, I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to say this because this feeds to the sovereign citizen movement. This feeds to a lot of other different movements out there where people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and they're reacting to all of this unconstitutional stuff that has been created unconstitutionally by people that have been undermining our Constitution. Now, just like the Pauls, just like I said in the last segment, that the Pauls, I absolutely they're wrong. We do not audit something that is fraudulent. You do not legitimize fraud. What we have to do is we have to actually call everything out as fraud. So the sovereign citizen movement is technically legitimizing these fraudulent government corporations. Why? Oh, well, because there's money in it for them. And believe it or not, when every time you look at an organization, you'll actually start seeing that when there's an organization, that means that usually there's money going into it and people are getting paid. Well, if all of a sudden you're getting paid to fight something, well, hey, that's nice. You know, that now it all of a sudden becomes a job. And so the thing that you're fighting, you know, it's all when there's profits to be made and fighting a war, then the best thing for you and your organization is to make sure that war never ends. What that means is that keeping, you know, people going to the front lines and dying is a good thing for your business. And how is that even right in an enlightened society? We need to look at war as, you know, this terrible thing. And we need to start ending wars. We need to stop going down this path of basically invoking, you know, what we want and manipulating. Bottom line, and this is why I go back to our best foreign policy is basically telling the world, you know, if you want us to actually defend your stuff, then you need to actually help us by, you know, subsidizing our operational costs as we're out in the oceans protecting things. Because right now, there's some really bad players that are going to become pirates very soon. And that is China. That is, Korea has already done this. We are seeing this more and more. And Russia, basically, they kind of do it. But they are going to be positioned. And especially as we start actually incorporating, because if we go down this path of bringing states into the United States, whether that be, you know, Chile, whether that be Estonia, whether it doesn't matter. As states start becoming territories and on their way to becoming states, and we disband the UN, and as we disband all of these other foreign entities, and we start getting things right, well, what's going to end up happening? Well, these real rogue players, China and Russia, they'll basically resort to shenanigans. They'll probably recognize that they don't want to go down this path of a world war because that will actually wipe them out. See, this goes back to the survival of an organization or institution. You know, when your when destruction becomes a reality, then most people go, well, we don't want to go that far. What we want to do is we want to survive and we want to be able to, you know, basically maintain our profits or at least be able to improve our lot. I mean, because that's basically what businesses do. They're trying to improve their lot. It's the same thing with all of this fraud. So, folks, when you're dealing with somebody, back to the sovereign citizen movement, when you're dealing with anybody that is chasing these things, the question is very clear. Give me the proof right here in the Constitution, anywhere in any of the amendments, because most people point to the 14th Amendment. I have all of the debates on the 14th Amendment available to you on my Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic. Go read it. Show me in those debates where they created, legitimately created the language and or the context and meaning in the 14th Amendment to allow them to create corporations. I'll prove to you otherwise. You'll actually see that there's absolutely no connection whatsoever to legitimizing what the federal government ended up doing in creating corporations, in actually paying debt and doing all of these nefarious things moving forward after the Civil War. So the problem is, why is it that anybody wants to be involved in legitimizing something? Going after this martial law and military courts and military control. I mean, there's people out there that says, well, they put us under military. Well, show me in the Constitution where the federal government had the authority to put the United States under military control. I can show you right there in the ratification debates that they couldn't do it. It was stipulated in Virginia that they couldn't do those kinds of shenanigans, that the federal government was constrained in how it dealt with the states. And it couldn't declare martial law anywhere except where the militia was deployed and for while they were deployed. They can't just say you're perpetually under military rule. That flies in the face of the Constitution and how it was defined. So in other words, if it ain't legitimate, then why is it that anybody is reacting to it in a legitimate way? In other words, you're reacting as if it is legitimate. We have to stop this because all you're doing is compounding the problem and making it worse. You are actually legitimizing this unconstitutional behavior. So the petition for government corporations and all of this, the states need to gut globalized corporations. They need to gut the globalized banking laws and force corporations to behave in accordance with the U.S. Constitution. And they also need to gut out all of these government corporations. In other words, say, so the state legislatures have these state corporations. The state legislatures need to stand up and say there was no authority come from the federal government to basically mandate that we have to do these things. The absolute creation of every corporation that is attached to government is unconstitutional. And they need to seize the resources, they need to seize the assets, they need to seize everything and say all of this was done fraudulently. And basically, you know, give everybody the pass to say, you know, you didn't know any better. We were all told. It's kind of like these people that are receiving pensions that is all based on fraud. Well, what are we going to do about them? That becomes the problem. It's just like Social Security. These things, because these people are the victims. These people have been told, oh, yeah, this is all legitimate, and this is how we're going to do this. This we're going to pay for this and pay for that. You know, there wasn't the only reason there are these pensions in public service is because they went down these fraudulent paths. You got to remember that prior to all of this, when a person stepped away from government, when a person walked away from their government service, they were dependent on themselves for their own retirement. They didn't have these golden parachutes. So how did they do that? Illegitimately. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.